To start the program out this morning, we're going to say a very good morning to Andy Payne, who is from the Frontline Action on Coal. A very good morning to you, Andy, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good morning to you also, Greg.
What got you kick-started in this particular area, Andy?
Well, like a lot of people, growing up in a time of climate change, I've always been very concerned about the threats of climate change, as well as the disconnect with a society that seems to do so little about it. And so the Adani proposed Carmichael mine is the latest step in a society that says we're concerned about climate change, but then just refuse to take the action required to stop it from happening. And so become the focal point of climate activism in Australia. And so myself and a number of other people have come up here to central Queensland on the Adani front lines to try to stop that mine from happening.
Well, it looks at the moment like it's still going to go ahead from where things look at the moment. But one thing I would make comment, I've heard people say that while that protest has been going on, when Bob Brown rolled into town and so on, nobody basically went out to Doongbambula Springs and places of like that are so important. They sort of just rolled into town and rolled back out again, and it wasn't near as effective as it could have been.
Yeah, a lot of people within the movement, I guess, for climate action, there's a lot of people taking a lot of different roles and using the different skills they have. And I think the convoy gained a lot of attention because there was a lot of people that came, but also you need longer term people up here working, really building that knowledge about the mine and what's happening, and also trying to build relationships in the area and have that kind of sustained presence. And so Frontline Action on Coal has been up here having a full-time presence for 2.5 years. People have been here much longer than that. There's a number of people within the movement for climate action to stop Adani, a number of different people, and we try to sustain a presence and try to really have that kind of frontline resistance.
How many of your crew have actually been out to Doongbambula Springs itself?
I don't know that many have. I haven't been out there myself. I think the Wangan and Jagalingu people, for whom that's a very significant site, they've gone out there and taken some people. It's quite a remote area as well. So I think that's one of the elements of trying to protect here, and the groundwater, as well as the Aboriginal culture that's under threat from this. But there's many other elements to it, to this campaign as well.
Yeah, I saw quite a remarkable story on TV last night about water. It looks like being the next bastion, you could say, in what people are trying to save, and they're getting a little confused over who owns what, who actually owns the water, who's got the rights to pump, and people that are pumping a whole lot more than they should be.
Yeah, that's right. The report last night about the Maules Creek mine in Western New South Wales, that mine's very familiar to a lot of us in Frontline Action on Coal. We actually had a permanent presence for 2.5 years out there at Maules Creek near Narrabri, trying to stop that mine from being built, and we didn't succeed in the end. But that report about the excessive groundwater usage and the effects that's had on local farmers in that area comes as no surprise to any of us who've been involved in there. And it's the story of plenty of other mines as well. They use an immense amount of water, and as well as their pit fills up with water, and they pump it out as well as the water table, and they have the capacity to buy water to outbid farmers for it because they're massive multinational corporations, you know, with big investment. And so that is, as well as the climate issue, that will be a massive thing to grapple with for Australia, or a dry continent, as we go forward if our government continues to want to give priority to the mining industry.
So in future we could be seeing frontline action on coal and water, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think absolutely vital. We've always maintained that, you know, the issues in this campaign is not only about climate change, it's also about Aboriginal culture, as you've mentioned. It's also about water. It's also about defending those farming communities. And Maules Creek was really divided by the process around that mine, and the for all the talk about jobs in rural Australia, the mining industry often has quite a negative effect in those rural communities. And so all those facets are the things that we're concerned about.
When it comes to who you're fighting this war with, you've come up against the Scott Morrison government, who's been described recently as authoritarian populist with a punitive bent. You come across those words?
Yes. Well, Scott Morrison, likes to, you know, portray himself as this kind of friendly, everyday Aussie type, but we saw last week what happens, you know, if we threaten the big industries and mining industries that the Liberal Party really wants to support. That's the economic base for our political parties. These protests have been having effect. There's mass numbers of Australians concerned about climate change, and it's had an effect in some of the government systems, but also in private companies pulling out, saying that they won't work with Adani or other mines, and that's been a success of the environmental movement. And Scott Morrison trying to clamp down on that at a meeting, a luncheon of the Queensland Resources Council, no less. He speaks to a body of mining executives and talks about how he's going to restrict the right of people to protest and have free speech. I mean, that shows you everything you need to know about how our government intends to respond to a climate emergency that affects us all.
Look, there's many people that will say the sea has risen and fell before. In fact, they would say it's the last big go-round, 100 metres or 300 feet, it rose and fell of its own natural causes, let's say. What do you say to that kind of information?
Well, there's a lot of information out there, and I must confess I'm not a scientist myself, and I haven't done the research myself into the amount of carbon stored in our atmosphere really affects everything. But plenty of scientists have, and I'm certainly willing to believe people who their concern is evidence-based research, or their concern is humanitarian issues, or their concern is looking after the environment. These aren't people with a vested interest, you know, that are saying these things about the threat of climate change. They're people who are studying the world around them and coming to findings that are very worrying. Whereas so much of the climate-denying science, it doesn't take very much detective work to trace back. A lot of their funding comes from the mining industry, people who do have a vested interest in continuing things as they are. And so just at a basic level, I know which side there I'd be more concerned about. And I think when it comes to looking after our environment, to building more kind of decentralized energy networks and skilling up people, enabling people to have more of a say in the political process, I don't think anybody could argue that these are a bad thing.
Andy Payne, it's been great to have a yarn with you. Hopefully we can have a yarn a little bit further on down the road, as I see some of these problems are not going away in a great hurry.
No, that's right. There's plenty of work to be done, and so I encourage everybody to get out there, however you can, get involved in groups that are trying to stop climate breakdown and trying to make a better world.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.